Hello, dear friends. Once again, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida, but it is also your station if you're listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, connected to the World Wide Web, and we welcome you today. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today to gather around the Word of God. And while I'm telling you all of these things, if you're not a Christian, we want to invite you to be our special guest today as we go into the Word of God, amen, and study and see what it declares unto us. There is hope for every person on this planet. There are no hopeless cases. God has called everyone to receive His Son and His forgiveness and the great salvation that is offered us through what Jesus has done at Calvary. He has called you today. He will call you. You will know when He knocks upon the door of your heart, and you will have a choice to make. And if you choose to allow Him to come into your life to forgive your sin and make you His own, I want you to know that you will experience the salvation that is declared, promised, and provided in the Word of God to you. Hallelujah. And by the Son of God to you. Well, I'm excited about the study that we're in because we're talking about the subject, Consider Him, the Power of a Focused Faith. And our text is in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. And it simply reads, For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Now, I read this, and every time I read it, I understand that it's meant to change our focus from ourselves, our hurts, our disappointments, our discouragements, our doubts, our fears, and to cause us to set our gaze upon Jesus Christ. Actually, it is in the context of that scripture in this same chapter, amen, of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses in verse 1, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us, and run with patience, resolve, and perseverance, literally, amen, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. You know, we talked about Him last week as our forerunner. One of the things, ways we were to consider Him as the forerunner. And Jesus said literally unto us, amen, that we are not to fear all of the trials and tests and persecutions of living in a faulty body in a fallen world with a great foe that stands up against us. Amen. He said, I want to give you my peace, not as the world gives. In this world you shall have tribulation. Thelpsis is the Greek word. It means anguish and stress and pressure. The world will create that in us. But He also said, but I have robbed it of power to harm you. Literally, I have went before you and robbed it of power to harm you. Praise God. There is grace, and there is strength, and there is peace, and there is power, for there is victory in Jesus Christ. But we've got to look unto Him. And the way that is set up in the Greek literally says to look away from all that will distract and set your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we get to verse 3 in the context of looking unto Jesus. And this is really how we are to look unto Jesus. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. lest you be wearied, lest I be wearied and faint in our own mind. It is meant to change our focus from ourselves to Jesus. And Jesus, in a particular way, when he was suffering and dying, while they chided him and hurled insults at him and said, "Physician, heal thyself. If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross." Under all of that pressure and all of that pain, Jesus stayed on the cross. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. He that knew no sin. It is to stimulate our faith in his finished work at the cross, to never doubt his love. It's to renew our hope. It is to evoke our love for the Lord and to strengthen our resolve to run this race, and literally to stimulate us to keep on keeping on. You know, when I get the poor old me's, I just want to sit down, sit in my room in the gloom and ponder doom. That is not what God has called me or you to do. He's called us to be a living, breathing witness of the kingdom of God that is within us. For the kingdom of God, the scriptures teach, are not meat and drink, but they are righteousness, they are peace, and they are joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to read what I read last week. I want to slow down that we capture all of the truth, and we'll never get it all, but all that we can from these verses of scripture to encourage us today. By fixing our eyes upon the only one who endured it all and conquered gloriously, we can find the invisible strength which can keep us from fainting. This is the only strength in weakness, the only burning flame when all furnaces go out, the only restorer in weakness, the only enabler in the day of weariness. I believe that with all of my heart, that there are people and ministers. We're not exempt from this. If you're a pastor, teacher, evangelist, we are not exempt from experiencing the weariness. And God has addressed that in His Word. He's told us what to do. Praise God. He's told us to look unto Jesus. If we look to ourselves, we're going to find that we are not in and of ourselves adequate for the task that is set before us. If we look to others, and not to Christ, but to someone or something else, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be discouraged in ourselves, disappointed in others. But if we look unto Jesus, I like what David said in the Old Covenant. He said, "I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help comes from the Lord." He will never leave you, never forsake you, never fail you, never quit you. Hallelujah. Amen. Here in Hebrews, there are 7 references to Jesus personally in this book of the Bible. Not about him, but his person. They cover the whole mediatorial work of the new covenant. And we are called in each of these scriptures to consider him. Last week we talked about considering Jesus crucified, considering Jesus identified, and considering Jesus highly qualified. And today, as we continue our study, I want to talk about considering Jesus verified. Considering Jesus verified. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22, it says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or a better covenant." By so much, in order that there can be no failure, there must be a surety who stands in to fulfill all the obligations required and the sacrifice demanded. Jesus made a surety. See, here's another title which only occurs, just like forerunner, it only occurs here in the book of Hebrews. When I was a boy, I was taught an old gospel hymn, "Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." I love the verses of this great camp meeting hymn of the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. It said, "My God, I have found thee thrice blessed ground, where life and where joy and true comfort abound. 'Tis found in the blood of him who once stood my refuge, my safety, my surety with God. He bore on the tree the sentence for me, and now both the surety and sinner are free. Accepted am I in the once offered lamb. It was God who himself had devised the plan. And this I shall find, for such is his mind. He'll not be in glory and leave me behind. Hallelujah! Thine the glory. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! God the glory. Revive us again." Hallelujah. See, I know why he penned that chorus. If you're going to pen these words, as you begin to grasp the truth that Jesus is our surety, then you can't help but holler hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have not just predicted, I have absolutely felt the unction of the Spirit of God to say in a prophetic word, and I'm not a prophet, I am a pastor, evangelist, but there from time to time we speak words of prophetic unction, unctioned by the Holy Spirit prophetically, and it's an incredible day that we're living in. And we're looking for that move of God somewhere where His power and presence and Spirit is being poured out. And we're always looking for someone to bring that, as if God has bottled it up in a person and only through that person could He pour that out. Thank God for highly appointed, anointed ministers and ministries today. But I believe the next great, mighty, sweeping move of God that will bring the next great, mighty, sweeping revival to revive us again is when we begin to go back to the Word of God and back to the cross and re-examine and begin to re-appreciate and appropriate what He has done for us when He was on that cross, that He might revive us again as we look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Friend, consider Jesus verified as your surety. He takes full responsibility. He discharges His task. He will not be in glory and leave you behind. You have surety. God has made Him that surety because of what He did, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, because God has accepted His blood as that final sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. I feel that revival stirring down in my soul when I think about what He has done for me, when I focus on what Jesus did for me and how He loved me enough to hang on that cross today. Consider Jesus verified. Verified as your surety. Praise God. He won't leave us behind. I love that scripture. Amen. And that where Jesus gives us a solemn personal promise that in my Father's house, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. You see, He's not going to leave us behind. He literally told us before even His coming to take us home, whether we live or whether we have preceded that day in death. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are living are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, according to the Scripture. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be with this person in this place forever. Hallelujah. God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're getting excited over stuff that we've known for years. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God is stirring, that we will get excited over what we know. It's not that we need to know something else to experience revival. We need to just start getting re-excited over what we know. Hallelujah. God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. This is beyond anything that we can comprehend without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible said, and you mainly hear this about at a funeral, it is actually not about heaven. It is about something else, something that is happening, I pray, right now as we study the Word of God. The Bible said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. And we stop right there, because then we're putting our focus on the heavenly city, on the heaven to come. It's going to be something that we could never, even though John described it in great detail in the book of Revelation, I cannot in my wildest dreams imagine a street of transparent gold. I don't know what a gate of pearl looks like. I can't conceive a foundation of a city that is made out of precious stones. I can try to do that, but there's no way I can comprehend all of that. But it is not about the holy city. It is about what we possess in Jesus Christ when we have come to Him as our Savior. Eye has not seen, I'm going to read the rest of it, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. We go to the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Amen. And that's the journey that we're on as we go back to the Bible, but not just with our intellect, our own ability to comprehend things. These are spiritually discerned truth, and we need the Holy Ghost to guide us. And when we see exactly in the Word of God what He has done for us, we begin to look to Jesus for everything. We need to see Him as everything we need. God has placed in Him all the treasuries of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and made Him unto us those very things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, I'm sorry. I'm going to get beside myself for just hallelujah. God the glory. I feel just like that songwriter. He must have begun to see it and to grasp it, and he began to just sing hallelujah. God the glory, as he felt that stirring down in his soul. Amen. He wanted to shout hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, friend, how we need that mighty revival of joy and peace and power and presence of God in our life, that we realize that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, hallelujah, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God has done such a mighty work through His Son in us, and we have blessed assurance. Jesus is our surety. Consider Jesus your surety today. Praise God. It's Christ in you that is the very hope of glory. And we need to look unto Him with everything we are and everything that we have. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you behind. If you were in the military, in the Marine Corps in particular, and the Marine Corps is not the only ones that don't want to leave anybody behind, but they have this as part of their creed. No one left behind. No one. We will not abandon you, wounded on the battlefield. We'll come for you. We'll come after you. We will surely try to rescue you. Amen. But we won't leave you laying out there by yourself. And God has not left you, friend, or me, in this world to meander and muddle through by ourselves. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. But I will give you another Comforter, and He will be with you, and He will be in you, and He will abide with you forever. Praise God. Amen. The Paraclete is the Greek word, and it means one who stands in behalf of another. And it's not just Him as an advocate for us, but Him as a mediator, mediating the presence of Christ Himself. Jesus literally said, I will give you another just like myself. My character, my nature, manifest to you spiritually. And that is the great, grand work of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus real in you and real in me, literally to make Him realized in you and realized in me. He's already real in us. We just don't realize it a lot of times. Amen? So God is calling us to be stimulated as in our faith and our heart, where there's no wavering anymore. Jesus is my surety. He won't leave me behind. Glory be to God. We consider Jesus as our surety. And we, like the songwriter of old, the hymn writer, and I love the contemporary songs and the praise and worship that is not about Him or about heaven, but just directed to Him today. There's some beautiful songs to stimulate worship, but some of the older hymns contain the best theology that is brought forth biblically. It was based when people would see something in the Word of God, and they got their, well, as modern vernacular says, they got their head wrapped around it. They were able to begin to comprehend not just with their intellect or their mental prowess, but by the Spirit of God. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, the heart has not conceived. It's never entered the heart of man what God hath prepared already. Amen. Through the cross, through the finished work of Christ, for them that love Him. Oh, friend of mine, God wants you to see it. God wants you to sense it. God wants you to embrace it today. God wants to excite your soul. Hallelujah. God the glory. Revive us again. The great revival, the sweeping revival that God wants to bring, that will not only stimulate the church to praise and enthusiasm, excitement again, but it will also sweep tens of thousands of souls into the kingdom, is when we begin to go back. Yes, you heard me right, to go back. I don't believe we need to try to go on until we first go back and re-examine with the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to show it to me in the Word. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to show it to you, not just my ability to articulate, my ability to somehow stimulate. I'm depending on Him to work in the human heart, to open the eyes of the spiritually blind, and to open our eyes as believers today. Open the eyes of my heart is one of those great contemporary worship songs. Open the eyes of my heart and let me see. Let me see. Jesus, friend, is our surety. The great hymn writer wrote, based on what he saw in the Scripture, blessed And he had to see Jesus, had to look unto Jesus, consider Jesus as his surety to pen these great words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchase of God. Ah, friend, he had to see what God wants to show us in his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Jesus is our surety. Praise the Lord. You can know that you have eternal life because you can know him that made it possible and became the surety, the absolute assurance and confidence. Praise God. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus verified today. Ah, friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you think somehow or another that I can't live the Christian life, therefore I can't earn salvation. Salvation is not something that anyone can earn. By grace, the Scriptures declare, are you saved through faith? It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Amen. Lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. No man, no woman, no boy and girl is worthy to walk in that holy place with these holy people. Only the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary can qualify us for heaven. No one will ever be good enough. That's not what he's asking of you, is to merit this unmerited favor. That's what grace is all about. Mercy is not for people who deserve anything but punishment, banishment, judgment, and death. No, no, no. As many as received him, the Scripture said in John's Gospel, to them gave he the power. And that word power means authority. It's a forensic term. It's a legal term. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen. That means there is no hopeless case. There is no one that God does not desire to save. There is no one that God cannot save, because Jesus will become your surety. Jesus shed his blood for you on the cross and for me. Jesus stood in the gap. He took the punishment. He took the banishment for a season. For on the cross, the Son of God, God the Son and the Son of God, cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus became treated as a sinner, he didn't have the consolation and the comfort of his Father. He died on the cross as a sinner, although he never sinned. He died on the cross without the Father's grace, without the Father's presence. He died abandoned. He died alone. He died in agony and he died thirsty. But he cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, friend, what a price has been paid to save you and to save me. Hallelujah. God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Revive us again. Oh, let us get excited about being saved. Today, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, I pray that you will come to him, repent of your sin, invite Jesus to come in and become your surety, that you may sing that song with us. Amen. And sing it from the heart. Come to Christ this very day. This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. Praise God. God loves you so much today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?